Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 95 for, well, Heroes Asylum. And you guys can see us right there. That's me right here. Kane's over there making the amazing hand gestures like he always does, jamming out to our little theme song.
I love that theme song, too. I mean, I miss the old ones, but that one is just like, just vibe.
You and I were talking. We're reaching our two-year anniversary, and I got a funny feeling. I think I may bring out some old themes just for the Ooh. Month of February, because February is our anniversary for 2 years. And we've got some, for you inmates that have been around a while, there is some fun intros I think we made.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple of them out there, yeah.
Yeah, so. But, guys, here we are. This is going to be an exciting show because, honestly, so much news has come out in the last
week. And I had to bite my tongue. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
I had to bite my tongue for hours because you wouldn't let me talk about it until today, so.
Well, yeah. That's one thing we try not to do. Kane and I try to, like, we meet up. We talk. We usually meet up on Saturday, do our other shows. We did talk a little, I think, about some of the stuff, but we didn't cut into that meat and potato shit right there.
We didn't do that yet.
We're going to get there. But first off, we got to talk about one of the big ones. It's not about the Star Wars. It's not about Marvel. It's about the other guys. WB with the HBO Max app. I'm a huge fan of HBO Max. I think what they've been able to do to bring over the DC universe and bring over the DC streaming stuff. Integrated into the HBO service and then the HBO shows that are on there. I started watching the new show Flight Attendant with Kelly Cuoco from Big Bang Theory.
No,
great show. It's very spy-esque, you know. I'm not giving anything away in the trailer. She wakes up next to a dead body, and in the whole premise of the show is her trying to figure out what happened because she doesn't remember what happened. Because she's a party girl. She's a stewardess. When she gets to the town, she pounds them back. You know, she's a little loose. And so that kind of happened on this case. But we don't see that. She's trying to put together what happened. And the guy that died is in her head. But it's not him. It's her, you know, subconscious. So it's kind of fun to see that back and forth go. Like I said, some great shows. But this week or last week or 2 weeks ago, actually, I'm sorry, they announced, you know, we are going to get HBO is going to release Wonder Woman 1984 to HBO and also to the theaters. And they also announced that they were going to release a whole bunch of other ones that way. Well, apparently the directors, the actors are all up in arms because this was not discussed with them. That, hey, you know, with HBO, they were able to talk to, you know, the director and also talk to, you know, to the actors and say, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do because, you know, obviously we're in the, you know, in this, you know, trying time and theaters are hard to get, you know, out, you know, people out to theaters. And this is the best way of doing it. HBO will get some money from the subscription services. But almost 17, they announced about 17 Warner Brothers movies that will be coming out. Rolling out. We talked about them. We had Dune, which, you know, for me, I'm unfortunately going to go see Dune in the theater. Wonder Woman, I'm going to go see. I think even Matrix is one that I was going to go check out. But others came down and they were not happy about it. Even the director of Dune, he was not happy, you know, about the announcement. You know, he's like, he feels, if nobody's familiar with Dune, Dune has a trilogy. They have a lot of books. Dune is the main one. It's the main movie. But there's a series of books, and I think the director was hoping to get those series of books out there, and I know a lot of Dune fans were wanting to see that series come out as well. And he feels that if it goes this route, he's not going to get that chance to release it, you know, out to the, you know, to get a chance to do the franchise that he's talking about.
He wants to do the theatrics. I get it. I understand. I mean, the guy made money, wants to make his profit back to sort of the studios. But, you know, I think at this point, it's more safety concerns than anything else.
Yeah, that's one of those things that you got to look at.
You got to look what's going on instead of, you know, I get what he's talking about. I do. But, you know, for right now, who's to say they're not going to release it in the theaters in the years to come? Like, well, you don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, yes, it's going to go to the streaming services and it's still going to be in the movie theaters too. I mean, go out and support your theaters. But, you know, it's just safety protocol. That's all it is.
Yeah, it
and
is.
I think he has to understand that.
And just because they don't release it out to the theaters doesn't mean that there's not that chance of growing the franchise. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got to realize Hollywood is taking, I mean, I know he realizes that, and everybody else in this list, you know, realizes Hollywood is taking a hit, and they're trying to scratch and claw to keep their, you know, their industry alive, which I completely understand that. Every industry is doing that right now. But maybe this might be the only way to get that stuff out is through these streaming services. You and I talked about when Mulan came out and how, you know, with Mulan, they should have, yes, what they did with Mulan charging for the movie, but the exorbitant amount they charged just to rent, I think, was it to buy or was it to rent?
It was to buy and
was
rent.
To buy, yeah. And it, yeah. I mean, it was $40 to buy. And I'm like, you.
Ridiculous.
I have stuff on Vudu and I go and I'll buy stuff on Amazon or go to Walmart and pick up a DVD. I'm talking maybe $20, you know, and I think that's where I think they messed up. Disney messed up and went the big route as far as like the amount of money they were trying to get. I think if they cut that in half and if HBO was smart to appease everybody, do $20 for the movie, you know, to watch.
No, I'll buy it or rent it.
Whatever. I'll do that, you know, $15-$20. So that way I know I'm supporting the industry of, you know, because I want this industry to continue. You and I both. I mean, we're fans. This is what we do for, you know, our hobby here, talking about these movies. So I understand. I think HBO went like crazy because they were able to get Wonder Woman to, you know, to go that route. And I just think they need to. I think Warner Brothers went the wrong way and Disney went way the wrong way. So I think somehow they could like fix themselves and meet in the middle, go, yes, we're going to, you know, charge for these movies for 3 months. And then after the 3 months, then it's, you know, free for, you know, if you have the streaming service, which that makes sense. That's normal stuff.
Yeah, and like you said before, this is all new territory for studios. They're trying everything, and I understand because they got to make their stuff bank. You know, a lot of times when they make a movie, people don't realize is that they borrow that money from banks and creditors, and they got to pay that stuff back.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not like, you know, there's the vault and WB and they open it up like Scrooge McDuck style. Like, hey, here you go, here's a bag of money.
The way you used to talk about Warner Brothers, I thought that's how they were.
you know, that's.
But yeah, so
you guys can check it out.
So apparently, with this, representatives for major Warner Brothers stars like Denzel Washington, Margot Robbie, Will Smith, Keanu Reeves, Hugh Jackman, and Angelina Jolie all were kind of like up in arms. And you know, even Gal Gadot's, you know, management's like, yeah, we worked ours out, but you had to do it the other way because they represent other people as well. So I think I think Warner Brothers needs to pump the brakes a little bit. They've been on a great track for the last 2 years. They really have, with, you know, with the plans that they're doing for, you know, doing the Matrix, doing Dune, you know, redefining the DC universe. I think they've been on a great track, bringing in the Warner, you know, the HBO Max. And I just think they flipped up again or tripped up again and went that route, you know, that we used to know them, you know, 2 years ago, we were like, oh, freaking Warner Brothers, what are you doing? So it's like they had a good 2 year run and then they had to screw up.
Yeah. So they slipped on a banana peel or something. I don't know what happened, but hey, they're going to try this out. Let's see what happens.
Yeah,
this is all like, you know, they're just, throwing, it's like almost you're throwing at stone, you're throwing darts at a dartboard, you just got to see what's gonna work. So they're both studios are guilty of it right now, so there's no set plan, and you know, this has never happened, this is unprecedented.
And I think, like I said, I think Warner Brothers saw what the fan base of HBO did and the backlash they got for Mulan, and it's not just the Mulan movie and some of the stuff that was on there that got the backlash, but the pricing of it and everything. And I think they went the exact opposite way. They freaked out and go, oh, well, we're not going to charge them anything now. No, charge us something. I'm okay with the charge.
Charge, man. I don't understand why they don't charge. Like, if they said, hey, Wonder Woman is not gonna go in theaters and $15.99, you can, like a normal ticket price.
Yeah, normal ticket price. Granted, they may not be able to get, you know, as much as they want because, you know, I could buy it and have, you know, my family here watch it with me. Well, they're not going to get the full five ticket prices they normally would. But guess what? At least you got one ticket price out of it on top of your subscription price.
Yeah, that's
true. So that is the Warner Brothers side. Now the rest is, I mean, we're going to talk Star Wars and Marvel here. I mean, for the rest of the show, guys, if nobody has seen the news, check it out. Look online. Tons. They're not spoilers, but there's definitely a lot of information getting thrown at you here. So what do you want to start with? You want to start Marvel or you want to go Star Wars?
Let's start Star Wars first.
Want to start Star Wars? Okay.
Yeah, go Star Wars.
All right.
And then we can talk about Mandalorian too. So we just
I was thinking we could start talk Mando now and then jump in, but I think we'll go ahead and start Star Wars. So it looks like there was 10 shows announced for Star Wars. And a few we already saw coming. We already knew of Obi-Wan's, you know, coming out. We got some casting news for Obi-Wan. And we got, you know, got news that
Hayden Christensen
will be revising his Darth Vader, which really he played Darth Vader for all of what, a minute? Something. Yeah. I don't even think that long. Well, if you count him walking on the bridge and then, you know, doing his little arm thingy
I think we're going to get a lot of unmasked Vader is my.
Talking about that.
More of like the inner struggle. You know how the comics did it very well, where he still has that inner struggle within him.
Yes.
I think that's the thing they're going to throw in that series. Like a lot of times, like I was talking to a friend of mine before we started, we're texting. He's like, "Do you think they would actually do like the Tony Stark thing? You know, in Iron Man, where he's talking, you see him talking through the mask and like that through Vader." I don't know if they're going to do that.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That would be.
Yeah, I was thinking of it. I was like, it'd be interesting. I mean, you see like a scarred up face and what he's going through. I mean, I don't know. I would rather he just take the helmet off and have like these maybe hallucinations of Padme.
Yeah, or these introspective moments about what he did. I could see this becoming not just I know they're going to call it Obi-Wan Kenobi, but I could see this being. Here are two friends in a moment in their lives where everything's turned upside down. You know, Vader's now trapped in this suit, and now Obi-Wan's trapped in this exile. You know, and they're both feeling as if, you know, their world's been turned upside down, and they're alienated. They're not in their comfort zone anymore. So I could definitely see them going that route to show these two old friends and these two Jedi's, you know, old Jedi's now, you know, one Sith now, but. Going through that, and I think we're going to see more like how Moff Gideon is right now. If anybody's familiar with Mandalorian, of how Moff Gideon is right now, how he's kind of controlling it. Hey, send the troops going to do over here. Make sure this is happening. We have seen a little interaction with them, but I don't think we're going to see. And I know you're drooling. The second I heard it, I knew I could hear you drooling about it.
I'm not gonna bring that
you
up.
You are. You want to bring it up? I know you do.
I want to, but I'm not going to. I'm gonna let simmer.
Don't know if that's going to happen. If it does happen, this is the time. I don't want it to. I think it ruins the whole story. But I think we're going to see them on their own different journeys, separate from each other. But Vader's going to send troopers to go do over here and stop this uprising of some new rebellion. Look, and it's going to be Obi-Wan helping out, you know, the new rebellion.
I don't think you bring Darth Vader in just to have him on his own little separate adventure.
I do.
They're going to meet up.
No.
It's gonna happen. It's the other guys, meeting.
We're putting money on it. They will. You want you meeting up or crossing sabers?
Crossing sabers.
Sabers.
Meeting up. That's the same thing.
No. They can. He can see him. He can have that force felt and see him, or have a talk face to face. I'm talking saber to saber. Which one do you think is gonna happen? Because I'll go with them maybe running into each other and them having a
communication. Okay, talk. I'm gonna go with meeting. I don't think saber to saber.
Okay, I'll go with that one.
I'm gonna go logical then. Yeah.
All right, I'll go with that one. All right, I'll definitely go with that one with you.
Yeah.
I think they may interact. They may.
Now, if they fight, that'd be shocking.
That'd be shocking. That's what I always thought you were going with whenever you brought that up.
I was never the idea that they were gonna fight. The fight happened in New Hope. I'm just saying they're gonna run into each other again.
Gotcha. Okay.
And like have those moments, maybe a meeting, like not even fighting. Yeah. Kind of like how he met Maul and he killed him like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
It'll be something quick like that, like, oh, you know, I remember you, and he's like, you or I don't know.
Well, we gotta find a way. I mean, I can definitely see them doing that because we gotta find a way that other than the time I think Yoda and Obi-Wan talked on that meteor moon or whatever when Luke and Leia were born, they did mention Darth Vader then, but that's the only other time. So how does, you know, I guess there's got to be a moment when Ben finally finds out that, you know, Anakin is Vader. But we'll see on that one. Next one is again another one we talked about, Cassian Andor, or the Andor, basically a Rogue One prequel series with Diego Luna. There's a great video on, like, it's called a sizzle reel online if you guys want to check it out. It's really cool, showing like the back end or the back behind the scenes of what they're doing and kind of how he's explaining it. And he pretty much explained it as we talked, that it was going to be kind of a, you know, your espionage spy thriller, you know, behind the scenes. And that's something I've always wanted and wanted to see after just that one line, you know, when they talked about the Botham spies, you know, many Botham spies. Yeah. And this is
many Botham
kind of what
spies.
We're talking about. And this will be a prequel to Rogue One. So that way you guys, you know, so we're going to see the leading up to, obviously, because no one survived Rogue One.
Well, you know.
Well, the people on the planet, nobody survived. and then, of course, you know, we talked about Mandalorian. There are now two direct sequels. We saw one coming a mile away, especially after she showed up, Ahsoka. So I'm hoping that one's just a one and done. I don't want it to be like Mando, where it's a continuation.
I think they're going to keep going with that one because they didn't mention special event series. Like Obi-Wan is a special event series, and I think Lando is also. So they said like a special event series, and that, which means it's going to be like a 10 episode.
Okay. Well, so yeah, I mean, I think they said Obi-Wan was going to be 12. And I think Cassian, I think they were going to do 12 episodes, which is a little bit long.
They got to bust up the episode total for Mando then, because we're getting ripped off.
No, because Mando's an ongoing series, but for these mini-series where they're...
The special, okay.
Yeah, the special ones, I think, are going 12, and then Mando's, you know, your typical 8 for streaming. And trust me, with the special effects that they're doing on Mando, we're not getting ripped off for anything, all right? I know we got the...
Just greedy, I want more.
I know we got our friends that are always talking about, oh, that's too short. I'm like, look at what they did during those 30, 40 minutes, you know? And then when you really look at regular, broadcast shows, that's, most of those shows are 45 minutes. They're not an hour. I think a lot of folks got a little spoiled with, like, Game of Thrones, you know, that did do the whole hour, or True Blood, you know, that did a full hour.
We get enough for the money.
Yeah. So. And then we also are going to get the Rangers of the New Republic, and I'm assuming we're going to follow one of the squadrons, maybe one of the folks that was with Kara in her unit, and now she's, you know, maybe that's where we're going to see a kind of a connection there. It's the only thing I can think of. We got no information about Rangers of the New Republic. That's
nothing.
All we know is it's
set in the Mando universe.
Yeah, all we know it's a spinoff. It could be those two guys, the X-Wing pilots we've already seen. I would love to see those guys return and have
those guys are cool, man. I like those dudes. Hopefully they bring them back.
Yeah, because I mean, those are the only X-Wing pilots that I know are actors, because the other X-Wing pilots we saw first season, that was actually the directors of Mandalorian. Dave Filoni was one of the pilots. Cho was one of the pilots. So you saw the directors in the pilot seats, which for you guys that want any, like, you know, behind the scene or trivia, that those X-Wings that were in the first season, that's actually the X-Wing that's sitting out in front of Galaxy's Edge. Here in Orlando. They stole them just before they moved them out here. next one is Lando. It's a spinoff series from the Dear White People creator, Justin Simon. It's following Lando Calrissian. The character was played by Donald Glover in the Solo story, but it's unclear whether he is returning or if this is going to be a Billy Dee Williams.
Go ahead. You know what I would like?
You're probably just going to say what I was getting ready to say.
I think maybe we're on the same wavelength. I'm thinking maybe you could have it in the style of young Indiana Jones, where it's like Lando, and he's just sitting by far as like, hey, man, I remember this one time when in the universe I went to the Scallywag Picks, and oh my. Like, just have that, and then you have Donald Glover obviously acting out the mission and stuff.
Right, yeah, exactly what I was thinking. But you want young Indiana Jones. I went small Wonder Years. So that's what I was thinking.
Still the same shit.
So I can't wait to see something like that, and I would hope if they go that route that this would mark the sequel of sorts to Solo, because if he can follow the rest of where that group went, maybe we'll get a Maul moment.
Alden Ehrenreich still wants to redeem himself, so I don't think he needs to do much redeeming. I just think he's just not. I don't know what was the word I used. He was not. Han Solo is not a background character. He's a character that's up front.
Yeah.
And I thought in his own movie, he played background.
It was an ensemble cast, which I was fine with that.
I don't know if the movie's called Solo. Yeah. I know what you expect. You know what I mean. So let's move forward.
The next one.
I wonder do you think we get an appearance of a Colt 45 in Lando?
No. I don't think it.
Come on. It'll be kind of weird.
It won't be a Colt 45. It'll be a THX 45. You know, you got to stick in the George first.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're waiting for that one. Now, again, guys, so far everything does not have a release date. I think the only one that truly has a release date was Obi-Wan, and Cassian was 2022.
So, yeah, that's the one. That's everything else, I think, is pretty much not everything's next year. Was Obi-Wan?
Well, no, they're starting. Cassian's filming. Obi-Wan just started filming, so we're probably going to see Obi-Wan end of next year, like right around the time probably Mando season 3 kicks
out.
Ooh,
man!
And then Cassian will probably be summer if everything works out and they can finish it up. Then the next one that's coming through for the High Republic era, and if nobody's familiar with the High Republic era, it's a new series of books that they're starting, but one of the things they wanted to do is not only is the High Republic going to get its own books, it's supposed to get its own comic book run, and now it's getting a TV series called The Acolytes, and it's a female-centric series built as a mystery thriller set in the final days of the High Republic. We spoke about this director early on, Leslie Headland, she did Russian Doll.
Russian Doll, yep.
Yeah, so we talked about her early on because we knew she was connected and we knew it was going to be a female-centric television series or movie. We don't know. It just says series. Again, it could be, hopefully a couple of seasons. Now, I think, and if they can go a great route on this, because if you really look at some of the early Legend books and some of the, a lot of the Legends book, they really fell into this mystery thriller structure. And I think that will fit perfect into it. If anybody's ever read one of the most recent ones I've read was Master and Commander. Came out, I think, last year, 2019, and it was with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan just a couple of months before Phantom Menace started. And you find that they talk about the history of, how we find out about Dooku and what he's been up to. They find out, you see that about Qui-Gon turning down his position as a Jedi Master in the Council. We see Obi-Wan challenging, Qui-Gon about his beliefs, and they conflict with each other, but there's a mystery thriller that's about, that this surrounds it. And it was a really great book. And if they go that route, I think it'll be so much fun for that.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool. I think, what was I thinking? No, I lost my train of thought. I think The Acolyte, it's supposed to talk basically from the Sith point of view, I believe.
I remember you saying that, but I don't see this in this.
That's what I was. I watched the investor thing again today on YouTube. So it's mentioned.
Yeah.
That.
With a little title like Acolytes.
Acolyte. Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking. And if you look at the way the font is, it's very.
Yeah, I'm just jagged.
I'm just reading, but I think it's going to be,
and which will be fine because I mean it's the end of the High Republic era, so I could see that being including the Sith because I believe that was the last time the Sith were around in Star Wars, in that time frame, because then they went 1,000 years without any Sith around, so I could definitely see that. One of the next ones, I think, I know you and I, we were dying to hear about this one, and we kind of heard about it. Star Wars, The Bad Batch, the follow-up to The Clone Wars.
Yeah, a lot of people were crapping on that on Twitter, which I really couldn't understand. I'm like, it's basically set along, pretty much, I guess, after the Rebels. So, and I kind of like The Bad Batch. I like the concept of them. They're kind of like the A-team of the Star Wars universe. I mean... And they are what they are. They're Bad Batch clones that, I think they're interesting. They go out and they do these random jobs. So I like them. I don't know why people were poo-pooing it a lot. It just kind of bothers me. People have their opinions. I get it. But still, this is animated. It's fun. It's a fun little show.
I mean, if anybody wants to, you need to check out the final season, the season 7 of Clone Wars, and the first 3 episodes introduces the Bad Batch. Yes, they're your standard tropes. They're like you said, they're the A-team of clone troopers, but there's something yes, they're very generic in their characters. You know, there's the big, you know, big guy, you know, strong muscle. He's not that smart. There's the sniper guy. There's the leader. You have your tech guy. I mean, they fall into these tropes, but there's just something. There was something refreshing about them and the characters that were there. And I can never pronounce his name. I feel so bad about it. But the voice actor that does for the clone troopers, I thought he did an amazing. He's always done an amazing job because he's always given each clone trooper his own personality, but still having the same voice. In this case, he really stretched his vocal cords to really bring out different characters for each one of those. And you know, it's the same guy, it's the same voice, but there's just something different about each one.
Mm, yeah, they had a little bit of different tones in there. So it's like I said, I'm looking forward to it. It's one of them. I cannot wait. If it pops on a Friday night, I'll get me a couple beers and just watch that. It just looks like a team in space.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, exactly. The next one is, and this is one I didn't get much information on, but it's called Star Wars Visions. It's an anthology collection of short films set in the Star Wars universe. And what I really, when I read this, I thought instantly Animatrix, because it's from 10 different Japanese animation creators that will debut next year. So this is one of the newer ones we're definitely going to see. So my first thought was Animatrix style, you know, that you're going to get different takes on the Star Wars story. If anybody's ever seen the anime Star Wars video that they've got out there on YouTube, and it's like a short little clip. I think maybe like five minute little video. Amazing. And if they're taking those guys and other animation creators and doing that style, I'm all on board for that.
They mostly say it's going to be Japanese anime.
Yeah, that's what it says. It says it doesn't say anime. It says from 10 different Japanese animation creators. And of course, anime.
I think they're going to do a lot of anime stuff, which is totally cool, because there's some stuff on YouTube. I'm not sure if you've seen it.
That's what we were just talking about.
Oh, is that what?
Yeah, you got to stop looking at your
phone. I'm looking at Twitter right now.
I know. Stop looking at Twitter. We're doing a show.
No, because they're poo-pooing on like the Bad Batch. I'm like wondering why. That's what I'm trying to find out. I'm not trying to talking to them and my thousands of girlfriends. I'm looking. Like it just bugs me.
Yeah.
Like you don't even give it a chance. So anyway. But yeah, that sounds cool. Yeah. I mean, I like the idea of like these 10 different kind of animators coming together, making their own stories.
Yeah. So
it's the big thing that we've always talked about. Yes. The big thing we always talked about is like, you know, we don't want to make Star Wars this. We want to make Star Wars this. And I think with all these projects going forward, they're making it this.
Yeah.
You know, and I like that. I like the new avenues they're going to, animation, live action. And this series is going to be, I think it's going to be probably one of those hidden gem series.
It will. It's going to come out. And I think a lot of people are going to be kind of iffy, especially because it's going to be that anime style. But I think you're going to miss a lot. I felt the same way when Animatrix first came out. You know, and I was like, oh, what is that? And then I took my time and somebody let me borrow it. And I was like, oh my God. And I had to buy it right after that, because it was great to fill in the blanks, but using the animation style to fill in the blanks and give one character a background story. You know, in Animatrix, you know, we had the background story of the one kid from the second Matrix movie that was, you know, following Neo around like a lost little puppy dog, because Neo, you know, got him out of the Matrix. And really it was the kid that got himself out of the Matrix. And that just one little line that they made in the movie, somebody made an animated short of it. And that's, I can't wait for them to take and literally go through, you know, three decades of Star Wars and one animator just pick a cool little line and grow, you know, and build upon it. And they do that on, if any readers out there, they do that. And there's a book series. There's two books out right now. They're slowly doing it, but it's called From a Certain Point of View. And what they do is they do the same kind of thing, as they take a line or a character that was standing in the background and they literally write a short story backstory for this guy and put it in this book. And there's 20 short stories on the first one, which takes place during Star Wars New Hope. And then they just released about a month ago the Empire Strikes Back version, where again they take one person. You know, I even think in the book I was reading, they have there's a backstory to it, and he's one of the most famous cosplayed characters in Empire Strikes Back. It's the guy that's running around with the ice cream maker on Cloud City. There's actually a backstory.
Is there a backstory
to him? Yeah, that's exactly what they do. They take that one person that kind of was like, what is that in the background? And this author will make a short story about the background. In the first book, they talk about there's a backstory about the band, the famous band with the, you know, the there's a short story about that band and how did they end up playing in that cantina at that very moment. And then you find out, you know, then there's another backstory where they're like, oh, well, we had a competition with this other band, and they're referring to the band that's in Jabba's palace in return. So it's like really just cool, fun, like behind the scenes stuff that doesn't make a squat of difference in the Star Wars universe. But somebody thought that person or that thing needs a background story.
Hey, why not, man? Yep. It's a fun thing to do.
That's probably what they're going to do here with the Star Wars vision. So next one, a droid story. Another animated series from Lucasfilm Animation and visual effects team that sets R2-D2 and C-3PO on a new adventure.
Where's it? Does it say when it's taking place?
It says R2-D2 and C-3PO. Okay. So I mean, you got a long time for them. Well, you got literally from the end of Revenge of the Sith to return, really, because you got to realize unless it picks up now. And they go on some adventure now, post.
It's a kiddie series.
It is kids. I've never been a big fan of the droid series. There was a droid animated series years ago.
Actually, that was a couple. Awful. I didn't like it. The one with R2 and
yeah, exactly. But that's what they're basically doing. And that's fine. Again, it's Star Wars is for kids, guys. I know we're sitting here talking about it, spending almost 30 minutes, but Star Wars is really made for kids. Just we're some big kids, and we continue to love that.
It's a fun little series for the kids. That's basically what it is. So I might check it out. Who knows? I'm always going to take a peek at it.
I'm always going to check out something from Star Wars. I have to always look to see. So that is really the end of what they had announced. Unless you found, I know you, because you really sat down and watched the actual video of their.
Yeah.
So I think that's it for Star Wars that I saw.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, the presentation was excellent. I got to say, anything bad I said about Kathleen Kennedy Pass, I want to take that back. You're doing a kick-ass job, and, go Kathleen.
And make sure, guys, I'm going to put this out there. I'm sure nobody else probably really cares, but keep in mind, they do these on their investor days. They say, these are what we're planning on doing. I'm going to tell you probably about 25% of these things are going to fade, all right? Just give you kind of heads up.
They'll fold into something.
Into something else. One of the prime ones I can remember the most is a Boba Fett movie. Well, we never got a Boba Fett movie. I think the idea of the Boba Fett movie kind of molded and dropped into Mandalorian. So we may not get exactly what we're seeing. There are some that are already pre-production or in production. We're getting Cassian. We are getting Obi-Wan. The Ahsoka and the Rangers one. Not sure on that one. If that's going to happen.
I think if anything, that those two are the ones that are going to fold into each other.
You think so? The Rangers? Yeah.
I think you'll see that fold in because, like you said before, the productions on these shows is not cheap. So, what a better way than just to fold that production into one show. So,
There was one more thing I completely forgot about because I didn't see it as part of the list, but announcement that Patty Jenkins, director of Wonder Woman 84, is going to be doing.
Did you Rogue first off One, before you talk about this? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you see her Twitter when she announced it?
I saw was the video. I saw the video.
You saw the video?
That's all.
Really
I saw.
Cool video where she's rollerblading or some stuff.
Well, no, she's talking, and it really, when I first thought it, I thought it was like a military thing because she's talking about her dad being a military fighter pilot and all this. And then
I thought she was going to do a remake of Iron Eagle. Really?
You see that right there? You see right there? The goosebumps hit me.
That's what I thought. She's not doing Top Gun.
Yeah, that would have been. But when she threw on the helmet, I was like, oh.
I freaked out. Yeah, and you see the X-Wing out there she has the orange jumpsuit. I was like,
So basically, it is based off the fabled X-Wing pilots, the Rogue Squadrons. Yes, there is a ton of Rogue Squadron novels out there. There's a video game out there. For you old school, down hard fanboys, that they're not using that as material, she said. That is not where they're going, so just let that go.
Make it brand new.
Yeah, they're going to be brand new. They're talking this should hit theaters. This will be the first announced Star Wars movie for 2023, December. So it's hitting the standard Star Wars drop date of more recent dates. I understand. I know the original came out in the summer, but recently it's always been Star Wars has been dropping, you know, Christmas time in the fall. And that's what this is.
I think
is.
We talked about it before. That Star Wars should always live during Christmas time.
It did. It does now. Yeah, it does now. But beforehand, for me, Star Wars was always a summer. Yeah.
But they tried it, so it didn't work. So, yeah. And now that you have Marvel, you know, you don't just keep it in Christmas time.
Yeah.
It's fun to look forward to. Like, I recall when we went to the theaters, we always look forward to the month of December, so it's Star Wars month. So just keep it there.
Yep. I mean, I remember when they did the, you know, the, what was it? The reissued ones from the original series. Those came out summer, because I remember
those came out in the summertime. Yes,
but
I paid good money to see those too.
Oh yeah, so did I. That and the and I picked up the remastered soundtracks for those in the black box.
So did I. So did
I. Every single one of them. I love it.
Oh man, those are still so good. Oh, I have to play those tonight.
Now that is Star Wars, guys. That is everything Star Wars. Sorry, yeah, I completely forgot about the Rogue Squadron. I was so excited about that one. I was like, I got to remember to do that one.
Before we go to Marvel,
yeah,
you forgot one thing.
What's that?
You forgot to talk about this week's episode of The Mandalorian.
Mm.
So, guys,
earplugs.
Earplugs. Yeah. Probably about 5 minutes. So, yeah. 5 minutes from now. What is it? 8:32 time. 8:37. 8:40 to be safe. Yeah. Okay, 8:40. So, I gotta say. This season, and I'm going to say it again, I have seen a lot of shows where each episode gets progressively better. This season, each episode, like last season, gets progressively better and better and better. I'm not even talking about effects. I'm talking about story-wise. Like, Bill Berg is back in this episode, the comedian. We saw him, I think, last season, which one of my favorite episodes, when that freighter.
Yeah.
And they're robbing people, which, oh, awesome episode. If you guys haven't seen it, check it out. And in this episode, you get to see Bill Berg, not as that swashbuckling thief, but as a character, like, you know, he came from the Empire, and probably the best scene is in that cantina where he's talking and he sees one of his commanding officers that was doing in the Operation Cinder, I believe.
Yeah, Cinder. Yeah, that was it.
Operation Cinder. And he's basically, you know, just saying, you know, hey, a lot of people died those days. He's like, hey, well, it doesn't really matter. They're all disposable. And this gets under Bill Berg's, because you could tell he has PTSD from this moment. He this guy lost friends. You know, I have a father. You know, he went to Vietnam, and that still bothers him. You know, he lost friends in the field, and that still is going to bother you to the day you die. And it bothers Bill Berg so much that he kills the guy, and then he goes from there. But I thought that moment, I was like, you know what? I hope they bring Berg back in future episodes. Maybe he's going to be part of those new series going down the line.
Possibly, yeah. We may possibly see him continue on. And again, another one. We see Pedro without the helmet. You know, another episode. You know. We only saw it at the very end of the last
episode. Well, Pedro has to hit that quota for his episode run, so he's got to take the helmet off. They're like, hey, look it. We're paying all these stunt guys. Pedro, you got to show up for a couple episodes. So that was his part of his contract. But it was good to see him without the helmet. Just proves how great of an actor he is inside that helmet and outside the helmet.
Yeah, and there were some really cool guest stars on there. You had the Gabriel Ebert. Was on there as the gunning pilot, the juggernaut pilot, and then you had the comms. You had Van Hess from Ray Donovan, Game of Thrones, and Grimm. He's the one that played that senior officer. Valen Hess is what his name was.
Valen Hess, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, another very familiar face from, you know, a very cool series. You just had a great cast, great. Again, it's not about the action in this one. This is one of those I know you said it was like it keeps getting better and better. This one kind of was it hit a pinnacle for me right there. It plateaued because it didn't grow anything. It just built the characters. It didn't take me up to the next level, which I know the next, you know, and I understand that's what they were planning, because the next one's the, you know, season finale. And that's where, you know, they're going to really bump up and hit their mark.
That might be an hour episode, I think.
That one's going to be put. Yeah, that'll be the pushing for an hour. It was a great story. Seeing more of Boba, seeing his character.
You forgot his new armor.
Oh yeah, the
his new black armor.
What? Yeah. Well, no, the clean armor. He cleaned it up,
for
whatever reason. He decided to clean it. He never cleaned it through any of the other series, but on this one, he decided he wanted to buff out everything and
buff it out, man. It looks good.
Looks good. It just throws me off because it's.
I know, man. It does too. I just.
It's almost like he put himself on one of the on the Instagram filters, you know.
I think Bubba's going on Tinder. I think that's what it is. Yeah,
he's got a, he's back in the dating game.
He is. He was in that Scarlet pit for a while, man. So
gets hard up when he's
so was Royal Oats.
But yeah, so we definitely have. You know, we got a chance to see that. We got a chance to see Kara, seeing a different side of Kara. We're seeing a little. She seems to be softening up a little bit more, especially with her. With Bill Burr's character in Mayfield, we're seeing that, you know, her soften up, that, you know, she's a diehard, you know, part of the Republic. And here she's letting a ex Imperial go. You know, she was like, I guess he died in that explosion back there.
Another great scene I forgot to mention is when they're Bill Burr's character is talking to Mando. And they're driving through the town basically with the uranium and all that stuff.
And complaining about how smelly the guy is.
Complaining smelly it is.
And then, why is he wet, man?
And then Mando's mentioning, you know, why he wears the helmet, you know, just the way and all that stuff. And he's like, you know, it doesn't really matter. Empire, Republic. He's like, all I know is that somebody took over this planet. It is, and people's homes are getting raided. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who. And I thought it was like, ooh. Yeah. That's like an allusion to, like, you know, future movies, you know, like in The Last Jedi, where it had Benicio del Toro's character, where he was like playing both sides. And it's like neither side is right or wrong. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Maybe,
yeah.
Like, in a way, they almost made the Republic kind of evil. I was like, ooh, that's interesting. Like, when you do that, like, you turn the good guy into the bad guy. That's always, I have like that. What I like to call it the Stone Cold Steve Austin Bret Hart moment from WrestleMania seven,
exactly, yeah,
where one of them walks in as a heel and has his face, and then that after the match they completely change.
Yep,
that's what kind of like when Bill Burr is mentioning all that stuff, I was like, wow, that's a fascinating thing, and I hope they keep going with that forward, because to see like a darker version of the Republic, like, hey, you know what, maybe they're not the good guys you think they are.
Well, no, they're definitely not, because we already know that from the other, you know, from the movies. We've already seen that that, you know, there's some things they're still having to work through themselves.
Yeah, it's, like I said, it's very interesting, and I hope they keep going forward with that idea. And of course, the episode ends, which I call a boss moment, big boss moment. You see a Moth Gideon ship. Mando contacts him, say, "Hey, you have something that's mine. You have no idea how much that means to me." I think every little. You know, if you didn't love The Mandalorian after this episode, you're never going to love him. First off, he's a badass. And first off, he's coming for the kid. So, you know, this last episode stuff is going to go down.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely, yeah, we're definitely going to see some ass kicking, some great action. I'm hoping to see the return of a couple other characters, you know.
Me too.
I don't think it'll be Ahsoka, but we'll definitely probably see a return.
No, I don't think you're going to see Ahsoka. I remember there's been... Some mentioned about looking at the Twitter page while we're talking, seeing if any idiots are still talking about Bad Batch. But sorry guys, I love Bad Batch. But going forward, I don't think you'll see Ahsoka. I think you will see Bo-Katan.
Well, I would hope so, because I have a feeling that there's going to be a moment where we see her and the armor kind of having a little
cool match moment. Of philosophies.
A match, but at the same time, their philosophy is to help out the downtrodden and to help them out. And I think there might be that moment where you see them kind of butt heads, but then you're going to have that, you know, that Superman Batman moment where they, you know, they were enemies at the beginning and now they're buddies at the end.
Yeah.
So I kind of foresee that if not now, soon, but I'm, you know, it, you got, you're going to have to cram, you're going to have to cram a lot into this last couple of, you know, this
yeah, we
show.
Might not see that. I think that's something for next season, because that could be a whole episode story arc for just one episode, because that'd be fascinating, seeing Bo-Katan in the armor, just like talking different philosophies.
Well, again, yeah, like glory. she said, you know, Bo-Katan said, you're one of those zealots. So, I mean, obviously there's tension between the Mandalorians themselves, the group that are the foundlings, and then the group that consider themselves truly the Mandalorians.
So is it one side is, would you call them the OG Mandalorians, and the other side the Night Watch, or is it the
Zealots? No, because Night Watch is still part of the Mandalorians. More of this, that these Zealots follow the more of the word, the word of the the Mandalorian code a little bit stronger. Just like any, you know, you look at any religion, you're going to have your ones that really take it, you know, for word value, and then you have others that are like, well, no, you can take the core of the meaning, but you don't have to live it specifically that way.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're gonna butt some heads, but it's something to look forward to, I think, next season. Yep. But I can't wait for episode 8. It's gonna be should be fun.
Yes, sir. All right, so now we're gonna jump into to the Marvel side, because a bunch of stuff got announced. Again, things we already knew were coming. You know, we're gonna start off with WandaVision. We actually got a trailer for WandaVision. We did see Kat Dennings from Thor, coming back as Darcy Lewis. We saw Randall Park for coming back in for Ant-Man. We also saw the newcomer of Tiona Paris. I can butcher her name. Sorry,
yeah, she's in
for
there.
Grown up Monica Rambeau, which I've been wanting. That was my biggest irk, you know, with when it came to Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel. And then we're gonna have Catherine Hain as Agnes. We're looking at starts January 15th for WandaVision. And we know there's definitely going to be some cross. We definitely know there's going to be some time travel issues going on there.
This is supposed to be the beginning of their multiverse space travel thing, I believe. I mean, I think throughout this whole phase, the one thing we learned, I mean,
before it's heavy. It's heavy.
It's going to be heavy interdimensional multiverse things. Yeah. I mean, every title, I mean, as you'll say in a couple minutes, you know, everything is basically based off that premise.
Yeah, so. I mean, you're going to have to take your word back about Marvel not wanting to play in their multiverse, because they're not sticking their toes in there, dude. They're doing a fucking cannonball into the multiverse right now. They're like, Kane said what? Screw him.
I think that's what it was. Because I always was like, man, they're never going to touch their multiverse. They don't give a damn. DC does. And then they're like, what? Guess what? Here's this.
Kane upset Kevin Feige, so now we're this is what we're getting.
I think I pissed him off. Yeah. I think he heard me.
Speaking of multiverse, it's not a multiverse story, but it's the What If. We got the trailer for What If. I have been waiting to see this. I've been so excited because I've always been a big fan, even though I'm a DC guy. What ifs for Marvel, I always picked up because I thought they were so fun, and that trailer just. At first, when I first watched the trailer, I was like, and what are they doing? Are they just race swapping and gender swapping? And then I saw later on, I was like, that's T'Challa who's dressed as Cap, you know, and that's not Cap.
Star-Lord.
And then you had Peggy, you know, Peggy Carter as Captain America instead of Steve taking the drone.
Well, she's technically Captain Britain.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, this is awesome. Then the one little flash of lightning was Zombie Cap.
Zombie Cap.
I lost
man.
It when I saw that.
Zombie
like,
Cap. Yes. They're dipping into the Marvel zombies. Yep. Oh my God.
Which I knew they were going to do though. When they first announced this, they said that was one of the things they definitely wanted to test and try out. So I'm happy to see that.
I was blown away by it, especially by Jeffrey Wright as the voice of Uatu. That was great.
Yeah.
But the animation, man, holy.
Yeah, it looked beautiful.
Holy damn. Like, it's like, I have never seen any animation like that. It's almost like it's live action, but it's not. It's kind of like the animation they used in Into the Spider-Verse.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. Yeah, it looks the same style.
And it looks amazing. And I can't wait. I don't know how many episodes they're doing, maybe 10, maybe 8. I don't care. I can't wait. Next year is coming out, right? 2021?
For that was not, they said studio start streaming next summer. So they didn't say, so definitely 2021, but they didn't give us an announcement on it, but it will be the first animated series from Marvel Studios. So just
it looks good. Yep. Looks good. It looks really, really
good. And next one, you want to definitely talk about jumping into the multiverse. At the end of Endgame, we saw one character vanish, and we don't know where he ended up going. But Loki, we got our first trailer for Loki. Looked amazing. He's returning. Tom Hiddleston will be returning. The series basically pairs Thor and the Avengers star with, who I'd love to see him, Owen Wilson. He was great, man.
He was so good in this trailer, man. Like, I didn't think he would work in a movie like this. And then you see him as rapport with Loki. I'm like, okay, you know what?
That's why, because I remember them casting. I'm like, man, really, what's he going to do? But they're going to be doing a very small and sometimes not touch, but the time variant authority. And basically who step in over the Asgardians multiverse of mischief from the end games. And you just see him jumping from time around time. It looks like a fun. This looks like you and I were fans of it when we were very little. Voyager or the Voyagers.
Yeah, I
this
just
almost
was thinking
is
Voyagers.
What this is, but with Loki and just to have so much fun. And I loved Voyagers. If anybody's ever tried to look for it online, it's hard to find. But it's just about these two people go to a time, they realize something's wrong, and they have to fix it before moving on. We've seen it done in time and time again with Quantum Leap. We've seen it done in Sliders. It's just kind of one of those tropes, but it's fun and I can't wait to see it.
It's exactly. It just looks fun. And I think, you got a couple peeks of some things in that trailer that I mentioned to you, and I think I mentioned to the people who are listening now, if you go, when they go to the TBD or TBD station, it looks like in the background you see these three faces, and I mentioned to you that could be an allusion to the Living Tribunal. I think if we're going to go in the cosmic world, you haven't touched on them yet.
Yeah.
And I think they have something to
well, the,
do
well,
with
the TVA
this.
Is based in Thor. I mean, if you're going to really go back, they were first, well, you know, debuted in Thor. So they're definitely going to be heavy into that, into that, you know, Asgardian and mythical world for that. Somebody posted yesterday, I think it was. Somebody made a comment. What a great way of correcting a few things that pissed some people off. What if Loki saves Black Widow before she dies? And that's how we bring
Ooh.
Her back. I thought that was a really cool
that'd
idea.
That'd be...
To have him...
Man, that'd be... Well, you're playing with multiverses
exactly,
now and time travel.
Exactly.
That's not beyond the realm of possibility.
Because we have to figure out, I mean, in our heads, I'm still wrapping my head around because I know they tried to explain their time travel. It doesn't work the way you know it normally does. But if that Loki got captured and then escaped, what Loki died? You know, that's Infinity Wars. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so there's a lot they can do and a lot they can play with. And again, what a best way of redeeming Loki by bringing back Black Widow and...
The only thing I would question is the Loki that we're getting in this show is the Loki from the ending of the first Avengers. And
he's not there yet, but I think
he's not there yet,
but I think he'll get there working this way. Cause the way he's behaving in the trailer,
he's the God of mischief, man. Like at everything in that trailer, he's the God of mischief. Like when he's in the plane mm-hmm. and he's talking to the stewardess and he's got that look in his eye. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to show you brother and Hamdell. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yep. I can't wait to see where this goes.
It just looks so much fun.
Then, of course, we got news of Hawkeye. So far, everything, guys, we've been talking about is nothing new release, but they're delving and drilling down more and more. But we definitely got news on Hawkeye. Jeremy Renner will reprise his role. And we are getting Haley Steinfeld for Kate Bishop.
Give a little applause to Mike because Mike actually called for Haley Steinfeld to be Kate Bishop.
Well, I think she's perfect at it. And then, of course, Feige also confirmed cast members of Vera Miga, Frey Free.
That's the Vera Formiga, yes.
Yeah, Tony Dalton and Aliqua Cox. Hmm. So we have that. The Marvelous Miss Marvel for the Kamala Khan, the teenage superhero one, that is coming out. That one actually has a lockdown here's where we're releasing late 2021. And it's saying that Valina and WandaVision's Paris will join Carol Danvers in Captain Marvel 2, which is supposed to be dropping November 2022.
Makes sense.
Which I think they should. They need to have Captain Marvel with Ms. Marvel.
Yeah,
because that was her.
I think people
idol.
Were dying for that before. You know, that has to be come from somewhere. So yeah.
Paris is who I was dying for. They needed a grown up Monica. That whole issue where she was a kid. And I'm not going to get into it. Anybody wants to look back on shows or just do your history about Captain Marvel and who Monica Rambeau is, you'll understand my irk.
Your gripe.
Yeah, my
your
gripe
with it. Yeah.
And of course, we had She-Hulk also confirmed, which we're going to be Tatiana Maslany. Feige solidified that the Orphan Black Star will be the title character. Mark Ruffalo will be coming in. I don't know who he's playing. For Tim Roth, which I was like, I texted you that last night.
Abomination is coming back.
Yeah, so we
I knew it.
So we're getting a connection to a non. We're getting a connection to a non-Ruffalo Hulk, which I think is great, which we knew that was part of it, but most people try to ignore that Hulk movie.
I don't. I like that.
I Hulk liked movie. It. Again, I liked all Hulk movies. I know we had our discussion about the first one you didn't like, but I think that's great to see Tim Roth coming back as Abomination. And you know, of course, you know, we've always had, General Thunderbolt, you know, running around, but.
I wonder if Thunderbolt Ross going to be in this series too?
He probably will. I mean, why not? That makes more. That makes
thinking.
Perfect sense. I mean,
well, hey,
you always have somebody hunting down, unless they want to go a la, you know, Bill Bixby, you know, Incredible Hulk, and have a reporter hunting him down.
I'm thinking they're going to do a little bit something different. I think if you're going to have Ruffalo in there and Abomination, I think maybe if Thunderbolt Ross is in there. Maybe a little Red Hulk action.
Maybe. It's not Hulk. It's Mr. Fix-It.
Yes.
Sorry, spit on the floor for that one.
You're right.
Yeah, I had to get that out of taste out of my mouth. Yeah, okay. Now, this one you and I were talking about, we're still not quite sure which direction they're going, but we're getting Captain Marvel ally Nick Fury and the Skrull Talos for Secret Invasion. So this is a new series. It's not a movie series, which we thought, you know, we were going to get Secret Invasion. If at anything, we were going to see it
on
the big screen. But no, we're looking at a new series, and which is great because, I mean, the last thing we saw Nick doing was he was on board. He just woke up in that little, you know, sunning bed or tanning bed he was on. And
so, I think it's interesting. I mean, are they going to go after a group of rogue what is that race called?
Skrulls
that are on Earth?
They may.
Because Talos is with Fury. I guess that version or that camp of the Skrulls is, I guess, good. And I guess, are they going to hunt down other Skrulls that, like, turned against him? I mean,
possibly. I mean, we could.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they're
going to
do.
That's what I said.
I mean,
they didn't announce much. They just that this is coming, that it's going to be with you know, Nick Fury, which is great to see more Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, anything with Sam Jackson.
Yeah, and then, you know, the Skrulls. Then we got our final official announcement of something you and I were talking about for Thor Love and Thunder casting. Feige did confirm the long rumor that Christian Bale, for, you know, your favorite Dark Knight, would be joining Chris Hemsworth, Natalie Portman, and Tessa Thompson in Taika Waititi's Thor and Love and Thunder, and he will be playing Gore, the God Butcher.
Don't you just love that name? Gore, the God Butcher. He's such a freaking awesome name. It's so freaking metal. I love it. Yeah, I think he's a relatively new character as well. I think they came out 2013. I could be wrong, but I know he's pretty new. I think the backstory of him is that he blames Odin because his family died or something, and he created this sword, and he's basically murders people across the galaxy. I don't know. There's a big story. Just check it out. Check any of your paperbacks. And
not only that, we're also getting another return of somebody for Thor.
Oh, for sure you.
I was stoked when I saw that we were getting Jamie Alexander back as a Lady Sith, which something you and I had talked about a couple of weeks ago, that we were talking about that if they are going to bring, you know, Natalie Portman in and do, you know, Jane Foster Thor, that Lady Sith should be there as sort of like her sidekick in a way, her partner, because that's kind of how it was.
Her mentor. Partner, man. She got a trainer, man. I mean, how's she going to get all these powers?
We don't have the Warriors 3 anymore, so we need to have somebody, yeah, you know, well, trainer.
You know, if Loki's going back in time, he should bring the Warriors 3 back. Yeah, I'm sorry. You talk about disservice to justice.
They got shafted.
They got big time shafted. Jeez.
And next one is...
Don't fall asleep on me, man.
No. Fantastic Four reboot has finally been announced.
Yay!
The return to the big screen. So we're going to... This is four times, folks. They're trying four times. Yes,
well,
maybe
the fourth time will be the charm.
I am counting the Roger Corman.
See that, guys?
Failed,
yeah. This is the fourth. Yeah. Fantastic fourth film.
But it is come from director John Watts, who did Spider-Man Homecoming and the last two. Well, basically did the last two Spider-Man movies. Other details on casting release date were not revealed. Again, this is one of those ones that's in its infancy. We'll see what happens and how long it takes. I know we've got our, if they're going to do it, I've got my, you know, you and I both have our wish list.
I know exactly what they should do.
Yeah.
But go ahead, go first.
Well, no, I think you and I are the same. Jonathan Krasinski and Emily Blunt.
Yeah, those. Perfect. I'm talking about story-wise, how they can intro them.
Story-wise, well, you said the buying the building, I think, and stuff like that.
Well, not only that, that's one aspect, but I'm thinking of another one. I think because Peyton Reed had written a script many, many moons ago because he wanted to do a past Fantastic Four film. And what his whole thing was is that they're from the 60s and they got stuck in the quantum realm. And basically, they're going to get out of the quantum realm in this era. Maybe having something to do with Quantum Mania?
Maybe. I'll go with the quantum realm, but them stuck from the 60s, I don't like, because they're going to come out.
Finding,
you know,
Dr. Doom since
Coming out doing peace signs, going, hey, man, what's up, brother?
I think that'd be kind of cool.
I don't know. I think what they should do is follow kind of suit in that way, but have them investigating the quantum realm. They get hit with one of those blasts that Hank warned them. You know, remember he warned Scott about when he was in the quantum realm. Don't be there too long because you might get hit with something. And yeah. I wonder if that's they're trying to, you know, get more into the, you know, the research of Hank Pym and discover more of the Pym particles in the quantum realm, and they get blasted with something. That's where their mutation. You know, I'm putting quotes up, folks, for that. So. Again, I'm not a big Fantastic Four fan. I think they're great in the comic books. I just don't it. Hopefully, they can fix it. But I just in my heart, it's always been about that I know it sounds horrible when I say this, but the family unit story with them, I know they're the first family of Marvel, but they just have never, that's never, it's been too corny for live action, and they need to make a, you know, they definitely
made it corny. That's the problem. They never took it seriously. And they tried to make it too dark and it didn't work. They tried to make it too funny. It didn't work. It's got to,
that's what I mean. You got to have, you got to have the right recipe for this. So I'm sure that Kevin's going to be in there. So hopefully he'll find a way and to do the right mixture. Again, that's one reason why I'm just not a big fan of them for that. So,
well, if he wants a template, just go across to Pixar Studios, look at a film called The Incredibles. There you go. There's your Fantastic Four movie.
It was animated. I think that survived and made it because it was animated. I think when you put
you could take some of those sensibilities and put them in live action.
That's why I said that's where it's a little tough, to do it live is where they're going to run into it. Next one is, and I had never heard of this one. I don't know if you had, Armor Wars. So they're talking longtime MCU star Don Cheadle will reprise his role as War Machine James Rhodes. And basically it will take place after the death of Iron Man in Endgame, and Cheadle will lead series. It's basically what happens when Tony's armors fall into the wrong hands.
So we're going to get Ironheart, I think.
Well, Ironheart's on our own. Ironheart's, but it might go into that. It might cross, because Ironheart is next. They've already casted, Dominika Thorne plays a gifted young engineer, Riri Williams, and basically very familiar to her actual comic character. She's just all into techie stuff and builds her own armor, not stolen armor. So, which is funny, is you're seeing Rhodey go after people who stole armor, and I'm like, dude, that's how you got your armor.
Yeah, you stole the armor, so what, now you're gonna stop people who are stealing armor? Like, that's kind of hypocritical, Rhodey. Yeah. Come on, man.
And then the last one we have is Guardians of the Galaxy. We've got they are releasing a Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, which
is it going to be animated?
Franchise writer director returns. That's the movie. Action? No, that's the movie. That's their
next that's the movie. Movie.
Yeah, their next movie is Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special.
Oh,
that's supposed to be out.
I thought it was going to be a Disney Plus.
No. This is a 2022. It does say releasing on Disney Plus, so it's James Gunn.
That's what I'm saying. I wonder if it's a special and it's not the movie.
I don't know. Okay, yeah, here it is. Sorry, yeah. So Gunn will be doing the holiday special.
Okay.
Then it also says Gunn's long-awaited Galaxy Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 will be released in theaters 2023. So next 22 we're gonna get the holiday special. 23 Yay. We're getting the actual movie, as well as an I Am Groot series of original shorts featuring several new unusual characters alongside our buddy Groot. And it's basically kind of following baby Groot. Of course, Vin Diesel will be returning.
Yeah, for those, he's got to record them lines. I Am Groot. I Am Groot.
And let's see what here. Only One King. Feige did confirm they will not be recasting for T'Challa for after Boseman's passing. So they have Ryan Coogler's working on it right now. Captain, let's see.
I wonder if they do like a battle for the throne. That'd be kind of cool. I remember there was a book I read. I'm not sure if it was Marvel or DC. They had like something called Battle for the Throne. And I wonder if they would do that in Black Panther 3.
So what they're talking about is, instead of recasting Boseman, the sequel will explore the world of Wakanda and the rich characters introduced in the first film. So definitely we're going to see Siri. We're probably going to see a lot of the other tribes coming in to try to take over the Black Panther mantle. I'm just really curious on how they're going to write him out. That's always a sensitive area.
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to do that. Maybe just passed away. Just,
We'll find out. And then, of course, Ant-Man is in production with Ant-Man and the Wasp 4. Say it loud and say it proud. Quantumania.
Dominia.
The returning director, Peyton Reed, he will direct. Paul Rudd is coming back. Evangela Lilly, Michael Douglas, and Michelle Pfeiffer are all coming back, as well as newcomer to the MCU, Catherine Newton. She will be taking over as Casey Lang, the other actress. I don't know if she couldn't make it or something, but they recast her. And if anybody's curious who Catherine Newton is, Freaky. The new latest movie with Vince Vaughn where they flip bodies.
Mm-hmm.
The blonde that's in that, the young girl that switches bodies with Vince Vaughn, that's who is taking her place. She'll do a great job. I love that movie. It was so much fun.
I saw it. It's cool. It's really cool.
So I think that's something fresh. It's in everybody's mind. It's Freaky. So make sure you guys check that out. And of course, the big one that we announced earlier, not we didn't announce, but they announced and we talked about it, was Jonathan Majors from Lovecraft Country. He's going to be playing Kang the Conqueror.
He looks like Kang too, doesn't he? He doesn't need the makeup. I mean, no offense, it just looks like he's just a suit. Yeah, they don't need to put no makeup, no weird stuff. I mean, update the suit, but like his face just looks menacing like Kang, and can't wait. Kang the Conqueror's coming.
Yes, it is. Yep. And I know we're running a little late, folks, but we've got one more thing. Casting news for another Marvel show. I didn't say MCU, but Marvel, Spider-Man 3, casting confirming seven new characters.
They might as well just call it Into the Spider-Verse.
I think that's the route they're going, because we're looking, who did we have? We definitely have confirmed is Andrew Garfield will be returning as Spider-Man. We also had, where'd the rest go?
Did you lose it?
No, it's not showing me the full page, so I have to.
It's okay. A little faux pas, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. It's a little technical difficulty here. For some reason, it's not waiting. It's not wanting to come on. All right, it's not doing it. Do you happen to have that up or no?
I had it, and I took it down, but.
Hold on.
Let me see. I'll bring it back up again.
We had Jamie Foxx was announced as well.
Okay, yeah, Jamie Foxx. Yeah. Alfred Molina's coming back.
Alfred Molina is going to be returning as Doc Ock. We also are having, we have Mary Jane Watson. Kristen Dunst is coming back as well. As from my understanding, we were also going to be getting Gwen Stacy returning from the Andrew Garfield.
Yep, she's going to come back. And like I said, it's basically into the multi, it's into the Spider-Verse.
Yep. And the one big confirmation that really is going to be interesting to connect it to the whole world is Benedict Cumberbatch's Doctor Strange was confirmed for it as well.
Yeah, so they're going to be journeying in and out. No. And I think this is just purely speculation on my part, but I think in this movie we will see the first appearance of a live-action Miles Morales. That's one of my
predictions. I think, yeah, we're definitely going to see. I mean, we've already heard of Miles, but we haven't seen the we've heard his uncle or saw his uncle actually, and yeah, of course the regular cast from the current Spider-Man cast will return as well. Mary Jane for our current universe will return. There are rumors kicking around that William Dafoe and Dan DeHaan may return.
Don't bring Dafoe. Yes, don't bring Dane, please.
Well, if you're going to do them all, you can't be picky about your multiverse. You can't exclude one person. Emma Stone is still rumored. She has not been confirmed to return. Toby is still on rumor. He has not been confirmed yet.
Well, they showed him on set or something, I guess, getting a costume fitting. I mean, he's not confirmed, but, he was in the lot.
And the newest confirmation, actually, this was, when I pulled this up, this is rumor, but I think it actually has been finally confirmed. Charlie Cox coming back as Daredevil.
That's insane. And
that is where you really are going to, if they're going to do that, that means that they're not going to wash away the Netflix series, that they may use it as a basis for moving forward and including these guys into the same world.
Well, he's the first one.
Yeah,
he's the first one,
and hopefully the first of many. Because I definitely I'd love to see Punisher coming back in. I know I'm probably one of the few. I'd love to see Iron Fist come back in, and of course Luke Cage.
No, Luke, yes. Jessica Jones, yeah. And I don't want to see Luke.
I would. I think if with a little bit better writer, I think it'll be fine.
Oh boy. Yeah. Well. I guess if you gotta get some of the bad cookies,
you gotta take all your cookies.
Get the whole batch. Yeah,
you gotta go with the whole one. So guys, that is all the rumors and
Moon Knight. Everything. Moon Knight. Forgot Moon Knight.
I wasn't on my list. Sorry, I didn't. It wasn't on the announcement list.
Yeah,
because it really wasn't much news. Really, I mean,
he just said that confirmed is what's his name? Poe Dameron.
Yeah, well, that we got
Oscar
that.
Isaacs.
Yeah, that was announced. Yeah, like I said, it was nothing new. That was announced weeks ago. Nothing has changed for that announcement. I think that's why.
I just like the way they did describe the character, and it's what we wanted. Basically, he's going to be a vigilante with multi
Yeah.
Differential.
Then again, it's the same thing that was announced weeks ago. It was nothing.
I know, yeah. But it's more confirmed now. You know, Feige said
it was already confirmed.
It's gospel.
Whatever. It's not gospel.
All right. Fine.
All right, guys. So that is it for Heroes of Silent. Yes, we went a little bit longer, but that's okay. Yeah. A little 10 minutes. But guess what, guys? It was a big week for news. If anybody's been on our Facebook page, you can see it just nonstop back and forth with everything we've been doing. And I want to send a big shout out to all of our Facebook followers. You guys are great. You guys make everything fun when we post something out there. I don't expect anybody to really read it, but when I see that you guys are reading it, interacting, and having fun with it, that's awesome. Even our naysayers and our poo-pooers, we still love you guys.
Yeah, we love you guys. Just, you know, tone down the negativity.
All right, so make sure you guys are catching us at Heroes Asylum on our podcast here. You can also catch us on a podcast, not just Facebook, but you can also catch Midnight Movies review and the watch alongs. You guys can find those if you guys see at the bottom of our screen, or if you're not, listen at streamerlinks.com/Heroes Asylum or Heroes_Asylum, and you can get there and see all of our shows, as well as if you guys are interested in joining our Facebook group. We love to have you guys over there. It's always a fun, positive group. You guys can send a request in and we'll get you guys on board and follow all the fun that we do there. So what else you got, Kane?
Twitter at the Heroes Asylum _podcast. Instagram at the Heroes Asylum. And guys, check out the Midnight Movies page. We put a couple movies on there. It's fun. We drink some cocktails, have some fun, have some laughs. And also, Midnight Movie reviews are on there. There's a couple on there. You should check it out. I think first one is already there.
Yeah, this week we're going to drop Ant-Man and Wasp, part of our Avengers initiative. The last one before we get to Endgame.
Yep, and the end game will be coming December 26th. That's finally confirmed, 9 p.m. Guys, be there. Join. It's going to be a huge event. You know, we would love everybody to join us in Zoom or in the chat room. It's going to be fun, interactive. Maybe we'll do it live. We don't know yet. But, guys, as always, from Mike to me to you to everybody else, get to the asylum.